5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Monday morning. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hole. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass, ready to rock and roll. I was out Friday. A lot's happened. I mean, Angel, it was you were on Friday going over some stuff, going over the draft and everything. We've got the NFL draft to talk about. We've got the Avs losing in Game 7, being eliminated from the playoffs. We'll talk about that. The Nuggets are up 1-0 over the Suns. An update on the Val Nichushkin situation, too, from the weekend, according to the Denver Post and several outlets there. So that was a weird deal. Man, you know, I'll tell you what. Let's get right into this. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. Good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, the good, I mean, you're up 1-0. And you win big against Phoenix over the weekend. 125-107. Jamal Murray was special. Nikola Jokic did his thing. 19 rebounds and 24 points. I'm going to talk about this because by design, what you saw Saturday was exactly what the plan was. When it's all working like that, this was what Calvin Booth, what Michael Malone, this is what they had set up with these players. Everything about Saturday was went exactly according to plan. Can they keep it going? Tonight, another big one, game two. And you know Phoenix is going to be, they're going to be aggressive. They're going to be wanting this one. So we'll talk more about the Nuggets, Suns series, the bad, and the not in the ugly. It's good. The Rockies dropped the series over the weekend to Arizona. But they did win yesterday, 12-4. So I'm trying. There's your positive. Austin Gombert gets the dub. And there you go. They're off today. So there's my positive for you. They dropped the series. Angel's trying to challenge me to be a better person. Well, at least a better Rockies person. the ugly. Yeah. The Avs lose. They lost to Seattle. They lose the series 4-3. Lost last night 2-1. Tied the game at 2-2. But offsides. Strikes again. Happened the other night, too, although the Avalanche were able to overcome that and still win the game. But another offsides penalty took back Nathan MacKinnon's goal. And the Avs never got it going again. They lose 2-1. We'll talk about the season that was for Colorado. Listen, I didn't have those expectations for the Avs this year. I just didn't. All the injuries and, you know, Gabriel Landeskog, and then the Val situation was so bad. That's crazy, right? I mean, Angel, you read that. What do we know right now? There was a woman from Russia that was in his hotel room just so absolutely intoxicated that they had to get, like, team doctors up there, and then they sent her to the hospital and everything. She said she was trying to get away from the bad man. I don't have the direct quotes in front of me, but we don't know a whole lot. Like, was he helping her? Was he partying with her? What do we know? And we got Kyle coming up in the 12 o'clock hour from the Gazette. We'll talk to him a little bit, but what a bizarre story.
Yeah, we were kind of just trying to piece together what this could be, what this definitely wasn't throughout the week. And then Friday, we finally got that story that came out just from the Seattle police report about the woman in the hotel room and, you know, under some kind of influence of some drugs or alcohol or whichever.
Something, yeah, I don't know.
How it really relates to Nichushkin, we still don't really know. Like, we know it was his room. We know it was at the team's hotel. But according to the report, Nichushkin, he wasn't in the room. He wasn't the one that found her there. He wasn't the one that called the medical team. So it's still, what is his connection to this?
I don't know. Were they hanging out? Was he helping her out? Did she get in there somehow? It's a very bizarre situation. So obviously that didn't help. You know, that was a guy, you know, not the biggest piece to your roster, but certainly an important piece. So not having him there was a big deal. The Gabriel Landeskog stuff, that was obviously a big deal. You know, Cale Makar missing one of the games, a game that they lost, was a big deal. So I didn't have expectations. And we'll go back to Thursday's show because Thursday, you know, we talked about Giannis' comments about a failed season and all that. All right, I'll change my stance a little bit. I guess it. If you don't win a championship, everyone's a failure. Whoever doesn't win the title can say that it's a failed season. So if you want to simplify it there, sure. I think there are certain levels of failure. Everyone expected Milwaukee to be in the mix, at least in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so for them to lose in the first round has to be considered a pretty monster failure. For the Avs, going back before the All-Star break, our expectations weren't really there for this team. And then they got hot and you started to believe again. I thought the Avs would beat Seattle. I thought they would win this series rather easily, but full disclosure, how many Seattle Kraken games did I watch this year? Not many. That's a team that was fighting, and I thought the Avs, and this is again the frustrating part about hockey, the Avs outplayed Seattle, I felt like. Obviously the shots on goal speak for itself. I thought they outplayed Seattle last night. But that's how hockey is, man. You can outplay a team, and if the puck slips in, whatever, crazy things happen, the team that wasn't playing the best can still win. That is hockey, and that is why it is harder to just say, you're a championship contender, you have to win. It's difficult to do that in the NHL. But yes, disappointing. You do have to consider this a failed season because you didn't win the cup. But you can't win it every year. But every year outside of that, so yeah, when Giannis was talking about Michael Jordan, would you say that is what, seven seasons that he didn't win the title or whatever it was a failed season? Yeah, I think Michael Jordan would say that too. Now again, that doesn't mean we're blowing this thing up. The Avs have some work to do, no doubt, but I love some of the Denver media. The national media was like, oh, the Avs in five. They're going to destroy Seattle. Oh, they put together this team even with the injuries, blah, blah, blah. And now some people are coming out today saying, oh, well, this is on Sakic. This is on, they should have did more. Clearly, you thought what they put on the ice was good enough to win the series. And then they don't, and now you're blaming you're blaming management. There's a lot of blame to go around, but if you picked the Avs to win this series, then clearly you believed the pieces were there to win a hockey series.
I think there's just obviously things out of control for even the ownership or the manager's front office, whoever, that this team had to deal with, whether it was Nichushkin going missing, apparently, or if it's Cale Makar getting suspended, or it's Landy not being able to play in the playoffs. Those are the cards you're dealt, and they didn't really have a choice in all of that. Could they have sat Landy down at the beginning of the season and say, hey, you're probably not going to be good
just
enough
put
to
him
go.
On IR.
We're going to put you down for the week, for the year.
Yep.
Would that have made you feel any better? Would that have made a difference in the playoff series?
I don't know. If they put him on IR, then would there have been more room for them to go out and get a Kane or somebody like that?
Were Avs fans thinking Landy was going to come back for the playoffs and it was all going to be perfect?
I think Avs fans, I mean, truly kind of thought he was going to come back at some point, but it really did remind me of the Jamal Murray thing, where last year we thought he was going to be back in, like, March. And then as it went on, I was like, he was cleared by the playoffs, but it still didn't make sense, and I get it. I'm not, all that stuff was a different conversation. But I do think some of the fans, I don't think the players thought he was coming back. But that doesn't mean that just because you knew it and you're used to it doesn't mean that it's still not a big impact on your team out there. So it was a rough one. Yeah, it's tough to stomach that one. Beginner's luck texting, and Brady, does the NHL offsides review need to go away? If a play goes on for 3+ seconds, it should not be reviewable. Breakaways are understandable, but a continued play has no effect on the goal. I think offsides should be eliminated from hockey. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Like, okay, you know me.
I get it as a rule.
Why?
But the sport itself is not played to that rule.
Yeah,
there are breakaways, because there are fast break plays in hockey, it happens so quickly that you can steal a puck at mid-ice and then take it over and score.
That's the tough... I mean, it would make the game more exciting if you eliminated that. Yeah, you can steal a puck, but if somebody's in front of you before you cross that line, I don't...
Like, I get it in soccer because the field is massive and it's easier to tell who's offsides or not. Hockey, it's a small rink.
And you're not
There's
stopping.
Only so much space I can go. I'm on ice on two metal blades on my feet. I can't stop.
I think it's a dumb rule. I think hockey should eliminate it or edit it in some fashion. I mean, the NFL's changing rules every year to benefit offense and scoring. Shouldn't hockey consider doing the same thing? Because that what that does is if you're mindful of going off sides, you're not as aggressive to try to get a potential two-on-one or whatever. And no, I actually think, as far as your question, maybe it shouldn't be reviewable then. Maybe that's your first start. You just don't review it. I think you should eliminate it. I never liked it. Once I started to understand it more, I disliked it even more. But that, yeah, burnt them twice. I mean, they ended up winning the game before that, game six, when there was an offsides call, but they still ended up winning the game and easily. But that changed things, man. I mean, I thought Georgie was playing. I mean, he had some crazy saves. Did you see him step out like 15 feet from the net and block a shot? I know he gave up two goals, but he made some pretty big. That game could have got out of control much earlier, but he made some crazy saves. Where do the Avs go from here? The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. Are the Avs still in the championship window? I think as long as you have, I mean, are we saying that Jared Bednar, we trust, he won a title. We trust him and say, as long as Bednar's there and McKinnon's there and Rantanen's there, then yeah, they're in their championship window. I believe so. They're going to have to, you know, the depth situation's got to be something that they're certainly working on. I believe they are, because you do have one of the best players in hockey. It just didn't, unlike what we saw with the Nuggets Saturday, you know, you got your star doing, your two stars are scoring and lighting it up, but everybody's going with them. And throughout the series, for the most part, it was, can Mikko and Nate, can they do something special? Because that's, I mean, we're all just waiting for them to take over a game. With the Nuggets on Saturday, your stars shined, but the rest of the team was going right there with you. Everybody was making their contribution the way that they're supposed to. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You guys can comment or go vote at theholeshow.com on our poll question. Are they still in their championship window? A lot of frustration today, but I do find myself kind of like, I didn't have that high of expectations for this team this year. And maybe I should. Some did, some didn't. But it wasn't that I didn't think they could beat Seattle. It's just I didn't know if they were going to get into the playoffs 3 months ago. And yet they found a way to get a number one seed, all that. And then I think the expectations changed. Kevin texting in, as long as they have 8-29, the window is open. I tend to agree with that. When you have two of your superstars, and I do think Bednar obviously earned a lot of stripes by getting past the second round last year and winning a Stanley Cup. But yeah, there's going to be work to do. But I don't like the offsides rule. Just not in on it. Also, before we break here, we just got an announcement from the Broncos. They did pick up Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year option. He'll get $12.9 million for the 2024 season. So now the question becomes, I mean, with what the Broncos did over the weekend, drafting Mims, was that a move that directly correlated between whether or not the Broncos would invest in Jerry Jeudy? Sean Payton said no. George Payton said no. And then they pick up his extension. We'll see if they're going to work on a new contract for him. But the extension at least leads us to believe, no, that Mims was... That was probably more of a KJ Hamler thing. And again, the Broncos could still move any of those guys, like Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. That could still happen. But I would say that that's more doubtful now because they did pick up that option for Jerry Jeudy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Before we break, I want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. For over 52 years now, OCR has been a specialist in the medicine of motion. With 6 medical campuses, they provide care along the Front Range. I had these guys work on my shoulder about 5 years ago, jacked it up. I didn't think surgery was a really big thing that was going to be on the horizon for me, but it was so bad. I couldn't lift weights, couldn't exercise, couldn't pick up my kid. So I started to go to these therapy sessions at OCR, and it was just different exercises, different work, and that changed things for me. So that was my experience with Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're helping CSU Rams, Colorado Eagles players. So if they can help those guys get back out on the floor and the field and the ice, they can help you get back at it as well. Beginner's luck, abs are still in the window, need depth on second and third lines, injuries and crazy distractions hurt. Yeah, we can't just like write off the Valerie Nichushkin story and say, you got to overcome. That is a bizarre freaking story. It's not a clear cut, here's why he's out, here's what happened. It's even a little more hazy today. Have no clue what this is about. I mean, I guess we do kind of have a clue, but yeah, make no mistake about it, that had an impact on this series. Not an excuse, but it is what it is. You had a player that you consider to be a key player not playing. When was his last game? Game two? I think it was game two, and he was a big part of that win. Dixon says, I agree that offside should be eliminated in hockey and soccer. If you want to cherry pick, go for it. I think it would make it more exciting.
I think you should also be suspended a game for breaking someone's neck.
Why didn't that get... The NHL safety people didn't even come out and talk about that. Cogliano, I mean, that is just...
That was a brutal hit. Like, yeah. The fact that he's able to walk and communicate and either play in another game, crazy.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, the fact most that people, that's like a paralyzing hit.
But then him being out last night because of that hit... And the NHL safety committee or whatever they are doesn't say anything about it. At least tell us why you didn't suspend the guy. I mean, that was brutal. And that pissed a lot of people off, too. It's like Cale Makar's penalty was actually downgraded during the game. And then the NHL came over the top of that and said, no, because he's out for the game, we're going to flip the script here. And we're going to say it knocks him out. We're suspending him for a game. But that was awful. Absolutely awful. And I don't know why the Seattle forward, what is his name, Jordan Eberle, how he got to play the next game, I have no idea. So, yeah, weird things happened. But Seattle earned it, man. They put up those kind of performances, and now they're moving on. 23 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, give you my player of the week, thanks to Glass Doctor of Greeley. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA Zone Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This one was a little easier for me, Angel. My Glass Doctor of Greeley, Player of the Week. Yeah, man, we're gonna go with it. The Jamal Murray. Absolutely tore it up this week. Or again, two games for him over the course of the week. He was special. He was absolutely special. Look at what he did. Look at the numbers. In two games, in the Game 5 win over Minnesota and Game 1 win over Phoenix, he averaged 34.5 points, 7 assists, 4.5 rebounds. He had a couple of steals thrown in there. He was a special player, man. And he's saying, hey, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you guys to start to believe in me? How much more do I have to prove for you to say that I'm not just a bubble kind of guy? Here's what Jamal Murray had to say. Angel, if you have it. Jamal Murray had to say about his performance in game one. I mean, he outshined Devin Booker. He did. He was the better player. And I think that Murray on his best night, I tweeted this, and some think it's a hot take. It's how I feel. It's not a hot take. Jamal Murray on his best night is better than Devin Booker. I believe that. But on his, you know, he doesn't have a lot of those best nights. He's an inconsistent player still. He's got to earn. He's got to show that, and I get that. But what we're seeing in these playoffs so far, I believe we're seeing the rebirth of Jamal Murray. He's becoming more of that lethal guy that you just expect to do big things in these playoffs, in these games. And maybe this changes his career. Maybe this changes his confidence level, too, where he's the kind of guy that now that he's seen he can do it in the biggest, on the biggest stage, on the biggest levels, that he can be a special player. Here's Jamal Murray talking about, you know, his performance so far.
I'd say it's healthy, Murray. I don't know how many times I got to prove myself for y'all to believe in my game or believe in what I do or my health or whatever it is. You know, I can only just keep doing it and keep trending and prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and where I'll say this, I got to be fair. What else can you do? You got to keep doing it. Because your body of work shows us that you're a 19-point guy. That's not a special player. But what we see, what we've seen in the play, what did he average in the Timberwolves series? He was probably high 20s. That's what I need from you. And that, you know, him saying, I don't know what else I got to do. I got to see it again. I don't need to see 34. I don't need to see 37. But tonight, yeah, I can't see 17 from you. That's what you have to do. I don't expect superstar, but look at what Kevin Durant and Booker did. They get smoked in that game, yet those two guys still get theirs. So you have to become kind of like Nikola Jokic in a sense of you can fall asleep and score 24. And the thing with Joker is he's going to fill the other stats up too. He had a lot of rebounds the other night. He had 19 boards, 24 assists, or 24 points and 5 assists. 24 assists would have been nice. 5 assists. But that's who he is. He's the guy that's going to fill up the stat sheet, come up with those big plays. Jamal's the scorer. You've got to be the scorer. And he had 9 assists to go with that, too. But I don't have to see 34 for me to go, oh, yeah, you've arrived. No, I just got to see it more consistently, and I can't see a drop to 17 tonight. This is a big game tonight, man. I mean, they're all big. But you know Phoenix is going to try to give their best punch because they want to try to steal home court advantage here. I predicted the Nuggets to go up 2-0 in this series, so I'm sticking with that. I was shocked, man. I mean, they outscored Phoenix 37-19. I did not see that coming. I thought we might be, you know, back and forth until about 5 minutes left in the game, and then maybe you see the Nuggets pull ahead here. The thing with the Suns is outside of Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, and Booker, the bench is nothing compared to the Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets, this game, Angel, was the blueprint. This is what you put together in the offseason. You said Nikola Jokic is the consistent MVP. He's going to do the hard work, the whatever. He's going to just fill it up. Jamal's got to be the star. He's got to have the pizzazz. Michael Porter Jr.'s got to come in, and whether Joker's in or not, he's got to provide a little bit of a spark, whether that's hitting some key three-pointers or driving to the basket. He had 11 points. It wasn't like he was outrageous, but I'll talk about him in a moment. You want Aaron Gordon to do the defensive work, the hard work. He had 23 points. That's what you want from Gordon. And then you want KCP hitting threes. He was 3 of 8, but he hit 3. And you want Bruce Brown coming off the bench, providing a spark both offensively and defensively. So this is what it was supposed to be in the offseason when you put this team together. That when it clicks like that, that's one of the most complete games I think we've seen by the Nuggets. At least one of them. It was an important game. And let me just talk about Porter and Michael Malone. The Jokerless minutes, was that in the second, start the second? They put MPJ and Aaron Gordon, Malone left those guys in, and those minutes were so significant, the Nuggets continued. I mean, they were only up, Angel. Denver was down by one at the end of the first. And then the Jokerless minutes actually helped them build a monster lead going into the half. And a big reason, big part of that was Michael Porter Jr. came up with some big shots. And he had 11. I think he had most of those in the second.
Yeah, you mentioned him, Gordon, and I'll throw Bruce Brown in there.
Sure.
All of those guys were plus 20 in their plus minuses. So if Jokic is off the floor, if Murray's off the floor, and those three guys can put up that kind of performance where it's not just, okay, we got to put the bench out there, just stay alive and keep the lead. It's, hey, get out there and just keep playing.
Yeah.
You're seeing that, and Bruce Brown is the forefront of that, bringing that energy off the bench. Christian Brown, he's a rookie in the playoffs. You're expecting a learning curve with him. But Bruce Brown is steadily becoming a very important part of this team.
No doubt about it. And I do think that Malone's grown as a coach a little bit because he lets Brown work through some rookie issues sometimes. Yeah, you know, I think it was game 5 against Minnesota. Brown had a bad turnover, a couple of bad plays, but Malone stuck with him, and then he rewarded him by coming up with that layup he puts up when he gets blocked twice. He puts it up, and then he had some key defensive stops there. So I liked that. Any concern about tonight? Or do you think we're going to see? I mean, there's a lot. Stephen A. and a bunch of national media suddenly changing their tune. There's a lot of national media talking heads that are like Nuggets in 5.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets really shocked a lot of people in this game and winning this game by, you know, not just the final buzzer beater, but by a fairly substantial margin. I had mentioned this on Friday, and it's something I think will continue to be a point in this series. Is the Phoenix Suns 3-point shooting?
Yeah,
7 of 29.
Yeah,
in that game, 30%. The Nuggets were 16 of 37. That is a huge disparagement between these two teams and how often they shoot the three and how many times they make it. And that's my thing with Phoenix. Yeah, they have the star power. Yeah, they have the guys that can score, but can they score enough to keep up with this Nuggets team who was the number 5 offense all year long?
That's true. I mean, that last month of regular season kind of put a bad taste in everybody's mouth about the Nuggets because
you didn't see
that stuff.
We talk about offense. What wins championships?
Yeah, it's pesky defense. And they had a pesky defense. Even in that first, Phoenix scored 32, but I still felt like Denver's defense was, the game plan was there. They were pesky. They were making them work for everything. And I think eventually, especially in Denver, you can wear them out. They scored 32, but after that they scored 19. Then they scored, they never hit 32 again in a quarter. So if you're pushing them and wearing them down in that first, that's what I'd like to see, an aggressive defense in the first period.
We know this team is confident about this series. They were confident going into it. Now you've got a win. Does that confidence kind of show you as a fan that this team can take a punch and take a big punch and still respond in an effective way?
Listen, man. I think the Nuggets on their best day can beat anybody multiple times in a row. That timeout in the second half by Michael Malone. 32 seconds in, what were they up by to start the half? Were we up to 17? Was it 17?
It was like 16 or something.
Okay, yeah. So Phoenix scores like 4 in a row, or you know, two buckets in a row. Malone calls the timeout 32 seconds in. My first thought was like, that ain't good.
I was like, wait, it just started. What are we calling timeout for?
But I get why he did it. I'm telling you, man, I don't know if it's just what it is, but this Nuggets team plays like the fans watch. And my, let me explain. I go into the game Saturday watching it, and I'm nervous as hell. Like, oh boy, everything, every possession, everything is crucial. Then by the time the first half wraps up, you're up by 17, and you're like, okay, this is doable. This is doable. This is actually, they can do this. I feel like that creeps into the Nuggets players' heads sometimes. And that's why you see them lose games in the regular season to bad teams or whatever. It creeps in their heads where they get complacent. I thought Malone, whatever he did, and the fact that he called it with 32 seconds left really sent a spark through, like, oh, damn, Malone's freaking serious here.
Well, it's easy to go, you know, you start the second half and you kind of feel, all right, we got a 16-point lead. We can just kind of just settle back into the game and get our pace back going. And when you see Phoenix react the way they did, scoring 4 points very quickly, as a coach, you got to say, no, we have to nip this right now.
We are not
letting this, you know, balloon out into it's a tie game and you call a timeout after they hit a crazy three. It's, hey, we just got out of the locker room. I know you guys are warmed up trying to get back in it. Wake up, back in it now.
Yeah.
The game's going.
Wake up. It was a genius move. And Malone, I thought, did a masterful job of coaching. in this game one. The way he staggered the bench, that timeout call, and it wasn't even what he said. He probably said cliche stuff, like, we can't play like this if we want to win a championship, you know? But it was the fact that he did it with 32 seconds into the half. Like, no. Restart. We're not coming out like that.
And they said on the broadcast, he reminded them, you know, what are you playing for? It's not just to win the series. It's not just to get respect. It's to win a championship.
Yeah.
That is the word that keeps going around this Nuggets team. They're not looking just to, oh, we beat the Suns, we got revenge, or, you know, oh, we got the 3-time MVP. No, none of that matters to them. They just want a championship.
So much was talked about with the Suns series 2 years ago and how they owned the Nuggets. I mean, most of those games, there was not a lot of doubt that Phoenix was going to pull away and win. Well, you didn't have Jamal. You didn't have KCP. You didn't have Bruce Brown. And Gordon was just starting to get kind of into the mix with this team. I also feel like this part's on the Nuggets' side. Phoenix is still trying to figure it out with Kevin Durant. I mean, it looks easy on paper to say, put three superstars together and watch magic happen. There's not enough basketballs. And so you're seeing the balance right now. Kevin Durant, 29 points, but he had 15 in the first quarter. I mean, half of his points in the first.
We said him and Booker, they're going to get their points.
They're
not going to hold them under 20 points.
No, they're that good. That's where I want Jamal Murray to be, that kind of player. Where did it feel like Kevin Durant or Booker had an astonishing game? No, but they had 29 points and 27. That's where you need Jamal to get to, is where it doesn't feel like he made an impact, but then you look down at the stat sheet, it's like, oh, it's 25.
Their third highest scorer was Ayton with 14.
And Chris Paul was a no-show. Tried to get a dirty foul, or did get a dirty foul on Jamal Murray.
I liked how you kind of saw in that second half, Paul was trying to get to that mid-range spot that he loves.
They shut it down.
He got two of those quickly, and then they immediately adjusted.
Because that roasted them 2 years ago. They didn't need Booker or Kevin Durant. That roasted Denver. His ability to just work himself in right below that free throw line, a little oval between the basket and the free throw line. That was where Chris Paul made his living and just destroyed the Nuggets. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out with the air conditioner, man. I think we're putting to bed those really cold days, the snow. I don't know. We may get another shot or two, but for the most part, you're working in the yard, you're sweating your butt off, you're doing stuff. You need to make sure your air conditioning is up to speed for what probably will be a very hot summer. Lemons Heating and Cooling, our HVAC contractor here at Agrely. Free estimates are available. LemonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Call them 970-567-0798. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. 43 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Mondays at Cable's Pub and Grill. This one's famous. Everybody knows about this. All-you-can-eat spaghetti for $5.95. So this will get your Monday started off on the right foot. And, you know, you're watching what you spend. I get it, man. You know, the tax returns, whatever. Things weren't as great or whatever. I don't know. Cable's will take care of you. They have deals going on every single day. So when you're going out to eat, make sure you look up their specials. These places, local restaurants, whatever, all the specials that they have, can't beat what Cables does. And they got happy hour starting up at 3 to 6 every weekday. That's where my friends meet. That's Cables Pub and Grill. And it's Monday, all you can eat spaghetti for just under $6. So the Broncos, we had the draft happening too, man. There was stuff. There was stuff going on. And they got aggressive. The Broncos ended up trading up to select Oklahoma wide receiver Marvin Mims Jr. with the final selection of the second round. They sent a 68th overall pick and 138th overall pick to Detroit in exchange for the 63rd overall pick and a 183rd overall pick. And this guy might be a playmaker. Fast. He ran a 4.38 40 at the combine. He averaged, with his final year with Oklahoma, he averaged 20 yards per catch. So I'm pretty pleased with that. I mean, I don't think anybody's grading the Broncos and giving them an A because they didn't have a first-round pick. But, you know, you want more depth. You want more playmakers with your wide receiver position. He might be a return kind of guy, too. We wondered what that meant for Jerry Jeudy, but they just picked up his extension. So, and now maybe they're going to look like what potentially they could do as far as a long-term deal. I'll be very shocked if they try to get that done soon. But I think the move, at first I was going to get on the air before I saw the Jerry Jeudy news, and I was going to say, I don't buy it. This is a move to replace Jerry Jeudy, or at least see what you have in training camp, and if he can work his way up the ladder, then you move on from Jeudy. But then they picked up his extension today. So I guess it really is just this was the best player available in their mind. That wasn't their big need. So they got a wide receiver. Then they get another, they get a inside linebacker in Drew Sanders. I don't know that they needed him either out of Arkansas, but I hear so many good things about this guy. I don't watch a lot of Arkansas football, but you tell me, Angel. You would know.
I don't watch a ton of Arkansas football, but he did play at Alabama for a year, so I do know him.
Good player, in your mind?
Yeah, he was very highly praised coming out of high school. I think he just got lost in the depth chart at Bama and then went to Arkansas and then had a pretty solid career there. So, yeah, I think it's a solid, good pickup there in the third round.
He was, according to The Athletic, he was the top-rated linebacker on The Athletic site with Dane Brugler's list of top prospects. 6'4", 235-pound. Spent, as you mentioned, he was with Arkansas, and then before that, Bama. He recorded 103 tackles, 13 for a loss, 9.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. So he had 6 passes defended and an interception to go with that. So there's your depth piece, a guy that could probably work into the starting lineup at some point, probably not next year. But this Sean Payton, now, I got stuff to say about the Paytons here because Sean said, hey, George is a saver, and I'm the spender. Well, they spent. They did what Sean Payton wanted to do, it looks like. And these were players that, did you need a wide receiver? Did you need a linebacker? You drafted the best player available. That sounds like John Elway, what he would used to do.
If the Broncos take 5 receivers on their active roster, who are they?
Well, you got Tim Patrick, you got Cortland Sutton, you got Jerry Jeudy. Is KJ Hamler going to be active? And then obviously Mims. So I you're going to have to obviously see where it all sits with KJ Hamler, but that would be the ideal world. Is that sounds like a pretty, I mean, you got Kendall Hinton too. It'll probably be Kendall Hinton over KJ until we know more about KJ's situation.
I don't think you can ever get rid of Kendall
Hinton. You just can't, dude. He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's historic for the Broncos.
Yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
And you never know. You never know if a quarterback is out.
That's true. Now you got it. You got a guy that you can trust with that. So I mean, if in a perfect world, it's Tim Patrick 1, Cortland Sutton 2, Jerry Jeudy slot. Or no, actually, they liked what they did with Jerry Jeudy. We'll see what they do. But they kind of like Jeudy playing more on the outside as a top threat. So he could be 2. Where does that put Sutton? I mean, a slot. A lot of people get this in their head that a slot needs to be Wes Welker. You don't have to have a small, quick little receiver play in the slot. Sometimes a big-bodied receiver can make sense. A lot of times you'll put a tight end in the slot, which the Broncos also maybe upgraded there in a trade. So we'll talk about more on that. Kyle Fredrickson is going to join us as we put the Av season to bed, unfortunately. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to Chris Dempsey as we don't even come close to putting the Nuggets season to bed. We'll talk to Dempsey from Altitude coming up as well. Busy show lined up for you here today. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You're the manager of the NoCo Owls every Tuesday with the Frank Gonzalez Show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Well, I hope you didn't take the betting advice on Will Levis. That sucked. I mean, listen, it was Bryce Young the whole time, but yeah, there was a little doubt. C.J. Stroud's scores or whatever didn't look great, so we thought, oh, as well, a lot of people put that out there. How did this story get out there that Will Levis was going to be taken first overall, and then it changed the betting odds. And then he ended up not going until, like, not even the first pick of the second round. He was taken by the Titans, which is also interesting. with the second pick of the second round.
I think that was his old freshman roommate at Kentucky that was like, oh, I used to live with Will for like a month, and then he moved out to live with the football players. But yeah, he's going number one overall.
That was wild, man.
Poor guy. I didn't even show up for the second night.
No, he's just like, I'm not going back out. I mean, you feel bad, I guess, but...
I don't.
No, I mean...
You eat mayonnaise with your coffee.
Yeah, that was... I watched... They had a clip of him during the interview before Thursday. I think it was like Wednesday. And he put a ton in there. He put chunks...
Like, it doesn't mix. It's not a liquid anymore.
And then he mixed it, kind of, and it's just, you're just drinking clops of mayonnaise.
That feels like something he did once, and then someone took a video of it and says, oh, that's your thing now, you're that guy.
Oh, it was so gross.
And now he has to just keep horsing down mayonnaise and coffee.
Like, that's your thing now, even though you did it as a dare, or you were drunk or something.
It's sponsored by Hellman's or something.
Yeah, or you accidentally put mayonnaise in it. You thought it was cream, but for some creamer, but you thought, you know, you poured mayonnaise in and everybody started making fun of you. And to save face, you were like, no, that's how I drink it. Okay. I always put mayonnaise in my coffee. Well, we'll see how Tennessee treats him there. That was an interesting pickup by the Titans. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side. Lunch Rush coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.